It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
You know, I gotta wonder what kind of working relationship you'd have with Satan.
It's Mike Shope.
I've often wondered that. Like, he, they, I don't know what his pronouns are, or their pronouns. Anyway, Satan.
And the Bulldog.
What's the upside of doing well?
Well, maybe they're too busy making everyone else's life hell.
Oh, boy.
And you might just be able to do your own thing if you're partnered with Satan.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They're too busy, you know, making Scott Norwood miss field goals.
Oh, come on.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
What do you know? Football found another hook. Today is 100 days to the opener. So, in kind, ESPN has its, like, 100 is central to a lot of their conversations.
They're tying everything into 100.
Who will be the first quarterback to 100 completions I just watched?
Really?
Yeah. What kind of analysis went into that question? One person said Jared Goff. One person said Tua. Can we look at the schedule? Can you break down the schedule?
Pick any. Who plays on Thursday night, week 3?
Oh, I should know this.
Because that's your guy.
The Bills and the Dolphins.
Okay, there you go.
Right?
Then one of them. Maybe that's why this person picked Tua. I don't know, because they run it all the time.
I love that you asked me that and I had it.
They're gonna pick you know, who gets the third game out of the way first.
Okay. So in this case, Tua would throw for like 70, he'd complete 70 passes in the first 2 weeks. Maybe, and then week 3 is early.
Maybe
for 100.
I want week 4. I rushed it. I think I want week 4.
I think you want week 4 at the earliest.
It was completions we're talking about, not attempts.
Right.
Completions. Okay. All right.
Right.
All right. Then week 4.
But did
who's playing in week 4, Mike, on Thursday?
On Thursday night?
Do you know?
Seattle, Arizona.
Okay. Good job. You liked it so much when you knew the first time, I thought I'd give you another chance at it.
But I'm looking at it now.
Oh, okay. That doesn't count.
I knew the first answer. I did not know Seattle and Arizona was week 4. Sorry.
Why not? Aren't you studying?
I only study 15, 16, 17. And 17 doesn't have Thursday. Well, they don't have the regular Thursday night. It's Christmas, week 17.
Right.
So that'd be Kansas City, Denver would be the Thursday. But hopefully somebody has 100 completions by then.
I would expect by then. Yeah.
Did the people, who's the Hasselbeck?
That is Tim Hasselbeck.
Is it?
Yes, the brother Matt was the better quarterback. Tim is the one on TV.
Okay, so Tim Hasselbeck and Jeff Darlington. Do you think they looked at the schedule? Do you think they actually – I didn't have the volume up. Do you think they actually bothered with – or did they just – they probably did, because you wouldn't just name Tua. Would you? You wouldn't just
– No, but until I realized it was too soon, that week 3 Thursday night, I thought maybe that was exactly what they did and why one of them landed on Tua. Although, like, you ask a good question back, why not just choose Josh Allen?
Yeah.
But week 3 is too soon. So, yeah, I have no idea what they're – I don't know what they're doing.
Do you know who led the league in completions last year? Tua was 19th, by the way.
Mm. He missed some time.
He missed a few games.
Yeah.
By more than 50. This player led the league in completions last year.
Jameis Winston.
No.
It was not a serious answer.
That's good. Jameis Winston.
Yeah, I don't know.
Burrow.
Oh, sure. That was actually gettable. I'm over here being cute.
He led the league
and not funny.
He led the league in completions, attempts, yards, touchdown passes, yards per game. 70, all while throwing 70% completion rate. Pretty good. You a Burrow guy? You are, right?
I don't love him. I think he's great, but I don't. I think he's great. I think the other guys are all better. And the other guys, I mean Mahomes, Allen, and Jackson.
He's in the great tier.
Yes.
How many are in that tier?
Four.
That's it?
Four.
No one else?
I think that's, yeah, is that it? And they're all.
Hurts?
They're all those guys. Man. I think you got to put Hurts in the group.
I have a tough time doing it.
Yeah?
I do.
Man.
I have a tough time calling him great. Like NFL quarterback great. Is he going to be someday at a bank honored as Eagles great? Maybe. He'll be an Eagles great.
He got a Super Bowl in the pocket already. He had an incredible game in the one they lost with him.
He did.
I feel like he warrants inclusion. I have no idea how much assuming that his passing stats pale somewhat with those other guys. Certainly everybody's are going to be down against Burrow. Burrow had a monster year last year with them losing all the time and needing to throw to try to stay in games. I feel like I want to push Hurts into that tier.
He'll have a RotoWire blurb in a minute that says, Jalen Hurts, : warrants inclusion.
But I think that's it.
That's how they would write it.
I don't think, if he's five, I don't think I'm making room for anybody else. There's certainly some TBDs. There's some guys that are coming hard. Jaden Daniels might, by this time next year, if he has another year comparable to what he did in his rookie year, he might be breaking that door down.
Goff isn't great. Stafford?
No, I don't know.
Okay. I appreciate that you wouldn't put Stafford there.
I mean,
you love Stafford.
I think on the elite tier, I think I still feel like Hurts belongs above because he's got the dual threat. He's a fantastic runner. And certainly accomplished enough as a passer, I think.
That's important to get a grasp of is the running the quota. How much of the running is relevant to it? Because Hurts as a runner, it's not just tush push stuff either. Like as a runner, he's way tougher. If you didn't have that, Allen, this is true of all of them, especially like Hurts maybe or Jackson, and then Allen. That group of guys. Burrow doesn't have this. Mahomes barely does.
It's why I struggle to put Hurts on the tier. Because I think it matters so much in this era to have a guy that can do that for you. And so, maybe I'm punishing him unnecessarily because all that matters is points and moving the ball. And Burrow certainly does do plenty of that. And has already been to a Super Bowl, and Allen has not. So I don't know how hard I can ding him, but I just feel like I'm getting ready to go have at it in a game I got to have. And my quarterback can't move like Jackson and Allen and even Mahomes and Hurts. And I feel like I'm not with one arm tied behind my back, but I feel like there's some handicap that I'm carrying if I don't have a guy that can get out of there.
Bo Nix?
On this tier?
Great.
Yeah, no.
Maybe you didn't watch football last year because he had more passing yards and passing touchdowns than Josh Allen did.
Good for him.
And a better completion percentage. Maybe you didn't watch it. Maybe you didn't see him.
That's all real cute, throwing the ball parallel to the line of scrimmage all the time.
More yards.
So good for you.
More yards.
Yeah.
I mean, just saying. You're not ready to put him on the... What about
no.
Purdy?
No.
All right, so it's four. You've decided it's four.
Well no, I thought I said five. Hurts is five.
Oh, you did say you wanted to include Hurts, so five.
Five.
Yeah. Baker?
No.
100 days to... Are we at
We're counting down 100
less
quarterbacks.
Shameless?
We're going to name 100 quarterbacks in the next 15 minutes.
I think I'm up for it. I've got a list right here. How many threw a pass last year?
Ooh.
Not just quarterbacks. I know the number of players, or do I? How many players threw a pass last season in an NFL regular season game?
Now that's complicated.
103.
103?
Yes. That's amazing, right?
Yeah,
including
that is,
20.
That's a big number.
25 or 26 threw exactly one.
Are they all non-quarterbacks?
I think, well, no.
No, some of them are guys that just got in through one pass.
Kyle Allen, former Bill?
No, I think there's two of them. There's two of them Allens, I think. Brandon Allen.
Kyle Allen, one for one last year. Also, Kyle Trask, the Kyles. One for one. Anyway, James Cook is not here. So this is voluntary. I actually kind of think, why is anybody here? If it's just sort of
Yeah.
How meaningful is it? I think we knew each other. I had a period of years where I hated the mini camp idea. Like, really, do we really need? I guess we're just joking about the year round news. You know, the narratives in the NFL, right. Like all the different things that come along that we talk about, which is awesome. It's crazy. But do the guys like need this work? I don't know. It's not a debate I need to have today. But everybody else is there, not Cook.
Right.
And does that matter?
No. No, I think it only matters if it turns out that he carries this over. I'm not even going to say it matters if he's here in 3 weeks. Right, that's around the timing of the mandatory minicamp.
June,
right?
it's 2 weeks from today or tomorrow.
Okay.
It's 2 weeks away.
So I don't even think I would. It's obviously an escalation of the situation because it would be the first time that he is skipping something that is not voluntary. So there will be fines incurred, etc. So it is an escalation. But to me, training camp begins and. If he's not here, we're on watch, and then it might get a little tense. Like, how long will he go? Are the Bills going to do something about it because they're worried? Like, will they, I don't know, cave might be too strong, but, you know, give in some from their end? I don't know. But to me, late July, when the report date is, that's all. I'm not that worried about anything else.
What do you think the Bills' position really is? So, correct me if I'm wrong, but when Brandon Bean spoke about this one time, he said that they had at least a conversation, if not an offer was made, but they'd had a conversation, and this is the time when Bean said, you know, basically, we're too far apart, so this is going to wait, and maybe we'll get to it next year, or whatever he said about that the one time that we all thought was kind of interesting that he mentioned next year, not like next month.
Mm-hmm.
But it was before the draft, and they talked, and it just wasn't close enough for Bean to think it was worth like digging in on at that time.
Yeah, it wasn't. Right? Basically, he sounded like, you guys don't need to monitor this. There's nothing really happening here.
Right. So there's probably, I would go as far as to guess that there's like an actual deal on the table for him.
Sure, I bet they have I think they'd be foolish not to value him more than what his current contract is paying him.
So
I think they'd want to make him happy if they can, but I'm sure they have a max dollar figure in mind that they simply don't want to go past. Maybe for any running back, certainly not one who only plays 47% of the snaps or whatever the heck he plays.
41 was it last year?
I just know it was below 50.
Maybe it was, it was below 50. So that number, that contract is what? So Cook's public, for what it's worth, stance was 15. 15 million per. What are the Bills offering him? If we are right that there's an offer available for James Cook, a deal for him to sign today, is it 3 years? I mean, I'm not going to get too in the weeds with like the details or anything,
right?
It's not worth guessing at. But 3 years for like half of 15, even as much as
I might go to 10. Like 3 for 30 is what came to my mind. What am I basing that on? I don't know.
you can say it's, you're trying to guess at like, so it's far enough away from 15 if that is indeed what Cook wants. It's far enough away from 15 for the Bills to be like, all right, not now, right? It's not a couple of million dollars apart where you'd feel like, all right, we'll get this done today.
Right.
It's enough, or at least it was maybe like, 6 weeks ago?
Yeah, I mean, if he wants 3 for 45 and their max is 3 for 30, that's a significant, depending on how much of it is guaranteed, without getting too far into the weeds, but if they've got a $10 to $15 million gap in overall valuation, that's significant.
It's a 50% difference, 10 million versus 15 million. So, yeah, like that would be, not only would that perhaps be considered like too far apart, but it's also like we're offering him $10 million a year and he's a flat no.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I don't know. Is that number probably no high? Sorry for the awkward wording. Is it, you know, possible that they're offering him more than 10? Possible, but I guess I would kind of doubt it. And if 10 doesn't get you close, then what? Like, what is going to happen next?
Then I think...
You just want him to take it.
Right. Well, you want him to take it. And if he won't, you have to be willing to not tack on the extra millions to get him to sign, and then you reboot running back next year.
So if they sign him for 10 next year.
Yeah, I'm saying like that. I skipped ahead to like they're going to get him to play on this contract and then go to the market and go fly be free. Like if they don't have a value, unless there's a scenario where they're waiting to see him do what he did last year again. I don't think he's getting 16 rushing touchdowns. He did it last year, but some semblance of, all right, yeah, this is what we can count on from you. You did it 2 years in a row. Then maybe, but even then, you're still at, assuming your usage is the same, to me, you're still at a player that's not playing half the time. And I don't think I'd want my team to be committing that big a dollar figure to that guy. I mean, my guess is this thing tracks toward him leaving in free agency next year. And they don't settle the contract. Cook realizes his best bet to get a big contract is to come in and produce. And sure, maybe he gets that here, like I'm saying, but I kind of doubt it. And then he rides off into the sunset. Somebody else makes him, you know, one of the highest paid running backs in the league.
That would scare me. That I think is really where the Bills run a risk. I mean, I know how much of a risk they run adding a few million dollars per year to his deal. Like, can't they get away with that in terms of the cap? I mean, it's a big team. There's so much money all the time. I think it would be kind of a bad look, but teams do it. Last year in the league, the teams that spent up on running back mostly were rewarded for it. So if they went near $15 million a year, I think they would be criticized for it, but they might be like, yeah, well... Had to do it because they wouldn't want, I think, and this is like I'm reading minds now, but they wouldn't want Cook to play out his contract this year on this team, like in those circumstances, with like everybody sort of by actions, by words, even having the understanding that he's gone. And so like where does that leave the player psychologically at that position where the shelf life is so short? I mean, this is where this could get interesting mm-hmm. because maybe the Bills just will not capitulate on him. And he's like, well, what do I do then? Do I play for the few, what is it, four?
Five-ish, yeah.
Do I just play for that and pretend I never said a word? Swallow my pride, right? Do I just do that? That's tough.
Mm-hmm.
And then just go and hope to get paid here or somewhere else after the season. He just had the 16 touchdowns is insane. And there's no reasonable way to think that he'll repeat that. I mean, I just highly doubt that he'll come close to 16 touchdowns again. It's just not how it works. The guys like a Henry or somebody that are just undeniably great, you can't really say that about because anything's 2,000 yards is possible. Henry was also 16 that shared the league lead last year. It was Cook, Henry, and Jahmyr Gibbs rushing. Like, I don't know. I have never been able to get there with James Cook where this guy, because, you know, you could actually tell me, well, if he plays more, then he could top it.
Ugh.
But just, it doesn't happen.
He's not built like a guy that should play more.
Right. We did this dance with Knox when Knox had, was it 8 touchdowns 1 year? Like, oh, why can't it go up? He's young. It doesn't. He doesn't command the targets. It didn't come close to happening again. And so, That the right bet on Cook is like half that. Now, the year before he had 2, and he played better. He had more, arguably. He had better stats
mm-hmm.
2 years ago, except for touchdowns. But last year he had 16 touchdowns versus 2 the year before. 2 was Charlie Bucket in that math class. How many candy bars did you have? 2? 200? No. So anyway, sorry. I think it gets interesting
yeah.
if Cook is like defiant. here and like, no, I'm worth more than this. Right, I know it. I'm not going to go play running back for you on that contract and then get hurt and get thrown out to pasture. So that's a possible outcome.
The whole thing is need even be said. I mean, it's not optimal. You'd want an important guy who's young, who's really helped your overall cause to be happy. You want to make people happy. You want your employees to feel fulfilled, like they're not being overlooked and taken for granted, and any of that could happen to this player, any player that is going through this. It just happens to be it's Cook, and it's at this sort of, I don't know, is volatile the right? It's at a position where there is, you know, ample evidence of not investing heavily in it being, you know, the better plan that's taken on some water in the last year and a half or so with the big contracts and the production, like you've already alluded to. But I just don't know that the Bills' overall model has always been draft, run them, see you later. Now, nobody has tested it because really, as much as fans might have, like certain fans who had his jersey or watched him in college or something, might have really liked Devin Singletary, there was never like, oh, we got to retain this guy. He was always replaceable. Like that's what he played hard, he played well, made some good plays, but there was always going to be an assembly line behind him. Now, Cook is really the third guy in that because Moss was in there too, and that, you know, he left here even before Singletary, if I remember correctly. But
he was traded.
So
right?
Cook, yeah. Cook is like the third guy they drafted to be a part of the timeshare there, and he's the guy who's had 2 years in a row now, 1,000 yards, all the touchdowns last year. So he's in line. The timing is coming where, and there is a case to be made. Who is the next most valuable player on that offense after Josh Allen? Is it one of the receivers, or do you get to James Cook immediately? I mean, you look at last year's stat sheet, I think you would get to Cook pretty quickly. So it's a tough spot to be with someone who appears to matter that much, but it is still a running back. So I would want my organization to have sort of a line of demarcation, if you will, for we're just not going past this at running back. We'll fire the assembly line up and we'll do something else at the position rather than, you know, run a $15 million a year contract up the flagpole. I can't see them doing it. So it could get bumpy. We could be spending a lot of time assessing opinions on Cook's level of effort and, you know, how just all kinds of vague things that we'll have no idea about, but I would think assertions will be made. Like, you know, the first time he sort of shrugs his shoulders and walks out of bounds instead of taking on a tackler or something, there's going to be a lot of self-preservation if he doesn't get a contract, which, again, I'm not expecting him to.
And the Bills would want to avoid all of that.
Of course.
803-0550 for your thoughts. James Cook absent from voluntary minicamp. Sean McDermott, quote, James will be here when he's ready to be here. Thanks, Coach. That sounds right. I believe that. I think that's probably the case. Sal Capaccio today at 4. Paul Hamilton later. Tage Thompson with the overtime winner, the golden goal for Team USA at the Worlds. And we'll bounce around a lot. Some interesting news around the NFL with other guys you've heard of that are not at voluntary practice. Would you go to voluntary practice under any circumstances? Veteran, star, rookie, would you go? I mean, veteran, rookie, both, anything. Like, would you go to voluntary minicamp? It's nice out. I mean, I don't know. Tempted to.
I want to say yes.
Okay. You're that guy.
I think you would too. You're a team guy.
I am, sort of, sometimes.
Like here you are. Like you participate in the things that are
team.
Supposed to be good for morale.
I do.
Supposed to wasn't pejorative. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I don't want to assume I'm not involved, but that's the idea behind that sort of stuff.
Yes.
You're a voluntary mini.
I would go to voluntary practice because I'd feel like I'd be, you know, ostracized if I didn't.
Yeah.
I do it under pressure. And I'm not sure that's really being a leader.
Yeah.
But I'd probably go. You're right. 803-0550 for your calls. We will look after the break. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Yeah, you know, when he came back, he really looked like he had been working. And that's the information we were getting in our little conversations with him during that kind of down period. And when he came back, he was in really good shape. You could tell he had been working drill-wise, weight room-wise. So, you know, real proud of what he's done to this point in the offseason. Continuing it now into the 3 weeks of practice will be important, and then on into the summer break.
Sean McDermott on Bulldog. Ever since he got back from Puerto Rico, you could tell we've been hearing you've been putting the work in, and you could definitely notice it.
I did put the work in today. I got to tell you, I went.
See,
I went hard. 30 miles
on the bike.
On the bike, yeah. First burst out of the park. I've only been out. It's only been nice enough. This is a dilemma. Exercise outside, play golf. Exercise outside, play golf. When it's nice enough outside to ride my bike outside, I end up wanting to play golf. So days that it has been nice enough to do that, I end up golfing. Today was not one of those days. I got to get out. The ride for Roswell is coming up June 28th.
Coming up.
I got to get going.
1 month and one day.
It's 45 miles, and I did 30 today. So I'll be fine, but I just needed to go grind.
Sure.
So took one of my favorite city rides. Just all around. Good deal.
I should say that McDermott was actually talking about Keon Coleman.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't obvious.
Who I guess also did some work.
Apparently. It wasn't obvious who he might have been talking about. Who knows? But it was Keon Coleman, I'm told, that he was talking about there.
It is a best shape of my life season. Although McDermott didn't use that phrasing, talking about Coleman. You know, who that heard that and knows who he was talking about, i.e. not me, Keon Coleman, one of the most important guys going into next season, I think, on the team. I'm encouraged to hear that, because that was kind of freaked me out in the winter when the season ended and they talked about he and Kincaid the way they did. But it sounds like he took their whatever it was that they wanted him to do, it sounds like he did it, or at least that's what they're saying.
Important is an interesting word for Coleman, because I don't quite think of him that way. When I think of Coleman and like what happens, I think of it more or almost entirely in the context of the Bills and their drafting. The wide receiver thing is a team building topic. That's the draft and more. And that's what Coleman gets me to. I don't know how important he is. I mean, how good were they last year with him doing, you could say this about any wide receiver on the team, how good were they despite this player, Curtis Samuel, Keon Coleman, Dalton Kincaid, you know, anybody, only doing this, right? So are they in trouble if Keon Coleman shows up this year and gives them the same per game stats? I wouldn't say they're in trouble. But I would say it doesn't look like a great pick.
Yeah. Well, that's almost entirely what I'm referring to. That the pick and the light that Brandon Bean has chosen to shine on it with how he handled himself after the draft, talking about the receiver position. I thought very much so he squarely put a bright light on both Coleman and Kincaid, his last two pass-catching investments, like big investments, first pick of the second round for Coleman, and him saying, I've got enough. I mean, sure, he mentions Josh Palmer and the investment they made there, too. So it's not just the kids, but it's been uneven for both guys, to say the least. I mean, I don't think that's too strong at all. Maybe it's even a little weak to describe how their rookie and second seasons, in the case of Kincaid, went last year. I think if you're going to go on the radio and go in attack mode on people who don't think you've got enough at receiver, the guys you just picked on well, almost Thursday. I mean, Kincaid was a Thursday pick again, one pick later, and there's Coleman. Those guys are, I think, got like a fresh set of sort of expectations on them a little bit. You make a good point. The results might not suffer that much if neither of those things happen, because they had an incredible offensive output year last year without any of that really from either guy. But I just feel like the heat's kind of on. So it's almost more it's important to the conversation about how is that all going. Like you're saying, the narrative around the draft and the picks and the build of that room, that's where I think Coleman's important.
You know, And I, it's just what sometimes tends to happen is we end up talking about receivers and like the big picture. I want to say something like, you know, so there's this split, if you will, in ideology or like people who think they're weak there, people who don't agree or just don't think it matters that much, whatever. And what'll happen this year? A scenario where the Bills are really good again. Everything, this is the point I'm going to make. I can't even wait to say it. Everything is last year again, where there's no dominant figure at that position. Best, closest you come is Shakir and Allen with, for him at least, pretty modest stats, is an MVP candidate and winner. Like, and you get to the playoffs. Part of why I think it's such an interesting debate is that they were as good as they were anyway. And even with that, 13 wins, MVP quarterback, 2 playoff wins, 29 points in the AFC championship. This is you. You can still go, yeah, I needed one more guy. You can still say it. Mm-hmm. When the season came down to it, they couldn't get that first down. They couldn't score when it was all on the line. And it seems to me super harsh to end up at my offense wasn't good enough after that season.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if you had the guy, if Coleman becomes this or what Diggs was, somebody that like, I need this right now, I'm going there. I've got Josh Allen. You can't stop this play. Me and that receiver are unstoppable here. You know, like the very best tandems, like Mahomes and Kelce, you know, the very best tandems in the league forever. And they don't have that. So that's what makes the debate either interesting or maddening, because I guess from there you can come to any conclusion you want. And who's going to say something, right? Like, well, how can you say they didn't have enough on offense? Look at the season. Well, okay, but I am, because instead of investing in a first-round pick, someone else, free agency, a trade, no, I'm loading up on the defensive line, and we'll see what happens. So we've got a long time. It won't even be, I mean, unless it goes really badly, it won't even be settled at all in the regular season.
No.
It'll all wait until the playoffs, and they might win 2 more games, and they might score 30 points again, and then you could still go, yeah, well, I still say, I still maintain, Your Honor, that I needed this one more piece. I guess that's what makes it, again, either fun or to make you crazy, this, some debates in sports. This is one of them.
Yeah, because I don't think that you should expect, I mean, and nobody I don't think is saying that, the Bills certainly aren't saying that, they're expecting the same ride, right, the same trip around the sun here is to be expected. Everything is not going to go the same way. And the good fortune, you can emphasize it all you want. You can practice different skills to help you get the ball loose. I'm getting to takeaways here. The incredible fortune that they had with the number that they took themselves, that they got themselves, you know, fumble recoveries and interceptions, along with how few they turned it over, how few times they turned it over themselves, is a good place to start, I think, for, well, can I get by with what I had last year again? Because that's a big factor. That is field position. That is possession of the ball. And it leans so hard your way that to just expect it, again, however much you want to emphasize it and think you've got some secret sauce or something, I'm not saying there isn't something that they're doing that gives them an edge. I don't happen to know what it is, but you can emphasize it. It doesn't mean it's going to roll your way. And it really, really did. And that is the first thing I'm thinking about when I hear the GM of the team talking about all the points they scored and how productive they were and how I don't have a problem. Like, well, are you sure? Like, are you sure there's enough there if the other team keeps punting it to you? Like, say you stop them instead of taking it away at midfield or whatever. And, you know, you every drive is, you know, or enough of your drives are now requiring another 25 to 30 yards. That is something that could change everything for what you accomplished on offense. And that's where, you know, the idea of not needing another guy, I think, can be called into question.
Bills had 32 takeaways last year, 16 fumbles and 16 interceptions. I mean, third in the league total, first in the league in fumble recoveries. And they had 8 turnovers, which was the fewest in the NFL. 2 fumbles lost all year. How about that? 6 interceptions. And, you know, there's definitely an effort toward that. That it's always both. It's always some luck, but also, like, clearly they wanted to reduce that number. And Allen played accordingly, and it's ironic that he won the MVP in a year, or maybe not, because interceptions have worked against him in terms of his reputation, but as, you know, maybe they should. But still, like, playing more conservatively, they had pretty gross numbers when it came to downfield passes, you know, hit rates and things like that. But still, they won all those games. And he wins the award. 8 turnovers to 32 takeaways, the right. Bills last year.
They put the ball on the ground combined between pass catchers and runners 19 times. 6 receivers were dinged for a fumble and 13 ball carriers. Not 13 different, but, like, you know, a couple more than one.
And they lost 2.
Right.
Out of 19?
Wait a second now. Where is this total?
Uh-oh.
The total under fumbles on my page here says 13, but I'm counting them up. I've got 1 for Cook, 1 for Allen, 1 for Trubisky. What is that? That's 3. How is 13 that number? I'm pretty confused. I'm sorry. I don't trust the information I'm looking at right now anymore.
You're so, ESPN then.
Yes. I'm a little shook.
I mean, have we ever been more certain of anything?
No.
At Pro Football Reference, there's fumbles lost, and then there's, you know, fumbles, period. And Cook only put the ball on the ground, as you put it, 1 time.
Okay.
All year. Allen was 5. I have 9 for that. Allen 5, Cook 1, Shakir 1.
You know what it is?
Kincaid and Trubisky.
It's Allen as a runner versus Allen. I'm guessing that's the distinction. Because he only has 1 listed there for himself on this page, and that's clearly not right. Anyway.
1 lost.
But, yeah, no, I'm saying totals because they have 2 separate columns here.
Okay.
Anyway, the ball was on the ground frequently enough to have lost more than they lost is the point.
Yep.
Okay, whether
especially the playoffs.
However many it is. It's not always going to roll your way, right? The middle there is probably where you're most likely going to live. And even that is, you know, that's like double the amount of turnovers they had all year if they lose half of those fumbles.
What about it? What was it in the Ravens and the Chiefs games combined or even the playoffs overall? There were 6 or 8 fumbles that they recovered all of?
Yeah, I don't.
Something like that?
I don't have the box for that open right now. So
we'll take a break. Sal coming up at 4. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. This is WGR. Welcome back. Hopefully everybody enjoyed their 3-day weekend. Memorial Day. Just saying. Perfect again.
You got it on the board. It was the most pleasant round of golf yet this year. Yesterday morning. It was perfect.
Pretty close to a perfect day.
Sun high in the sky, no clouds, no wind, just really nice. Not hot really, just really comfortable.
I did the thing that you do on days like that, and a lot of people joined me in going to the big department store, the big hardware store.
Oh, boy. All right.
Yeah. That's the place to be on.
Oh, yeah.
A late spring weekend.
Just
chaos. Sure. It feels like chaos in there.
Got to get the mulch.
Mulch. We bought mulch. We bought flowers. Just loaded up on spring essentials.
Yeah.
Got the mower out yesterday. Oh,
yeah.
Glorious. I'm actually saying that.
You remember, it's been a year now. Sorry, I don't know why you would remember that it was specifically a year, but last year on Memorial Day, a more than 100-year-old tree. It didn't fall entirely down, but we lost a huge limb of it, and it led to eventually, later in the spring, your friends from Woodchuck coming over to take the tree down. I had the great idea at the time to, because they would have ground the stump all the way, you just made it disappear, basically. And I thought, you know, where it is in our front yard, like, let's leave this stump. It's about waist high. Let's leave it. I'll hollow out the top of it and make it into like a planter or something. And we can, I had this idea. I did not know that our dear old friend and longtime producer, Greg Bauk, had just completed this project himself.
Wow.
Just unbeknownst to me, like, I had this idea and then the next day saw him posting about how hard it was to do. And I thought, oh no. I got somewhere on Sunday. Not really anywhere you want to be yet, but I did make some headway. I thought power drill.
You mean this year?
This weekend? This year. It's taken me all year. I tried last year. I got absolutely zero results. Okay. Did a little more Googling. Watched a couple of more tutorials. Okay. I'm gonna try this again. I don't have a battery-powered drill anymore. I'm using a corded drill you plug in so the battery doesn't wear down. I can go for hours. And I did Sunday morning, standing at a tree stump in my yard for like 3 hours with a drill going the whole time. And
it didn't really get you that far?
My wife hasn't looked at it yet to give me any sense of approval or disapproval.
Has Greg?
Greg has not. I've not been in touch with Greg about this.
Oh well, till now.
But I have a feeling it's going to take me. I'm turning 60 in July. I hope to have this completed by my 70th birthday. is what I'm thinking. Fellas, if you are, you get a tree coming down, and you think like, oh, that'd be a nice idea. I have no idea how hard or arduous a task this will be, but I think maybe I'll offer to my wife to hollow that out and make it into a planter, and that will be nice. Don't do it. Get this thing ground down and like put your plants somewhere else. Because this is, I've got this ugly stump. It's not doing anything. It's been a year, and now I'm starting to feel this pressure to get somewhere with this job, and it's really hard.
Instead, maybe buy a planter.
Sure, and just put it on the stump.
And put it on the stump,
maybe
or
that's
not.
That's what I need to do.
And plant. Plant away. Plant your heart out.
Yeah.
It's a noble idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the tree wasn't, mortally wounded. It was just like a limb was broken up top. Well, it was in the sense that it was, but it still would
they
have
were
been.
Worried. They were worried about the health of the tree, but the stump is rock solid. There's no rot going on in the stump of this tree. The trunk further up, they needed it to come down. They showed me like it's hollow in here. You're in danger.
Okay,
so the tree came down, but yeah, the stump healthy as a stump.
Healthy as a stump. Right. And that says it all.
Yeah. It's very hard wood. I thought maybe the winter, exposure to the elements would soften it up.
Hmm.
Not really.
I don't know.
Not how this is going
so far. Isn't
that what
exposure to the elements is not supposed to do that? It's supposed to make you more hardened.
Mm.
It's supposed to toughen you up. Right? These dome teams are all softies.
But wood, though. Like you have to protect wood from the elements so that it, I don't know. It's
okay.
It's not happening. Don't do it, guys.
Don't bother. A year later, you're saying it.
Yeah.
Sal Capaccio with us. Spent some of the day out with the Bills. Mini camp. This is their one day of the three this week where the media is allowed to observe. So we'll talk to Sal about that and James Cook's absence and more after the update. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.